very busy. Many important matters require king's attention.
I'm king now. King now.
I am king.
Welcome to
the Joffrey of
Got Your Milk,
Lost Hope,
Bubba and Tasha Reed,
Ice Cold,
The Gifted and the Damned,
versus Bubba, versus Catfish,
Wind in Caves,
Parsec Passion,
Z, the podcast after
Shoggoth Surprise,
Hate Watch, Emerald City,
Delightfully Dreadful,
Irish Crack,
Miffany's Epiphany,
Babylon Berlin Babel,
Uhtred Son of
the Kerberos Muster Drill,
The Cleaning,
Let's Solve Podcast
Double PHQ,
Catfish.
Wow. Jeez.
The king! I'm telling mother!
It was 10 years ago, the July of 2013.
Wow.
Where somebody on Twitter with the handle Iron Throne, after how Khal Drogo pronounces Iron Throne on Game of Thrones, Iron Throne rather lightly said, "Hey, why don't you start a Joffrey-centric podcast?" And we did, and now 10 years later, here we are.
Bubba, it's amazing, and I can't believe in 10 years, nobody, not even you, has told me. You know, I'm about to go out to the desert to do Burning Man, and of course, you have to have your own, known playa name. And right. I was like, well, I used Catfish before, and my sister goes, you know, that is not a great name to use. Bubba, years ago, when I just said Catfish, because after you said your name was going to be Bubba, I thought of the most. I was like, what's the most corn-poned southern name, nickname I can use? Little did I realize or think about the meaning of Catfish in modern vernacular.
Well, let me say that back in about 2009, I had been a guest on a Twin Peaks podcast, and they found me through Facebook. And so the whole time on Facebook, I'm listed by my full name, including the third. And so the whole time in the podcast, they're like, oh, Thurston Howell the third here is a guest on the podcast. So when I started appearing on Matt's podcast, Podcast Winterfell, okay, I don't want anybody to make fun of me for being the third. So you can just call me Bubba. No one called me Bubba. My younger sister, when I was a kid, had trouble pronouncing brother and would call me Bubba, Bub, Bub. And so suddenly, 10 years later, I'm known as Bubba. You're known as Catfish. It's too late to change.
It's too late. And not to mention the fact that some people are sick of me calling you Bubba.
They are.
I don't know why.
It is sad. We also should point out that back in 2013, we had read the books of Game of Thrones, and we kind of knew that His Grace, King Joffrey, first of his name, first in your hearts, that he would fake his own death to catch the real usurpers. And we thought, well, once that point comes up in season four, we can stop podcasting and doing all this work. But something terrible happened.
What
People
was
were
it,
listening.
Bubba? No.
People were listening and giving us reviews, and we had a bunch of listeners because everybody from Podcast Winterfell had been real nice and listened to us. And so we thought, well, I guess we can't quit this. And now 10 years later, we have wasted a decade. How do you feel about that?
Bubba, I mean, it wouldn't have been so bad if we had 3 years off in between Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon. But no, you decided let's keep podcasting about so many other shows, 2, 3, 4 shows at a time, Bubba. And as the double PHQ empire has grown, so not has my pocketbook.
I'm glad you noticed. Well, listeners, for 10 years, we've asked for your feedback, mainly because we don't want to do any work. We want you to generate the content so we can just sit here and do nothing.
Got it.
And we've finally done it, a whole podcast based on your feedback, listeners.
I love it.
And we're going to review our 10 years, and we're going to start off with your favorite podcast that we've done.
We have done so many,
and let's just cover them real quick. We have covered Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon. We've covered The Strange, Jonathan Strange, Mr. Norrell, Twin Peaks, Ash vs. Evil Dead, The Last Kingdom, Emerald City, The Terror and The Terror Infamy, Dark, The Rook, Dublin Murders, Babylon Berlin, The Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Andor, Lovecraft Country, The Crown, Only Murders in the Building, Penny Dreadful, City of Angels, Why the Last Man, His Dark Materials, Magpie Murders, The Wheel of Time, Lord of Rings, Rings of Power, 1899, Silo, and The After Party. Catfish, we went to our listeners. What do you think our listeners picked as their favorite podcast of all those podcasts? What do you think they picked as their favorite from the list.
I'm telling mother.
Bubba, I'm going to have to say, sadly, well, I think based on listener feedback that we've been getting lately, it would have been only Murders in the Building, but I'm going to guess that it's actually Game of Thrones.
It is. Our favorite podcast listeners, you voted in our polls and mm-hmm. you said your favorite was the Joffrey of podcast. Woo.
Probably just because it had the name Joffrey in it.
That's the only reason. Now we had a tie for number two. Some of it's recency bias, but the tie included The Cleaning we just did by covering Apple TV Plus's Silo, Parsec Passion, The Wind in Caves when we covered Netflix Dark, The Last Kingdom, which we covered all seasons of and the movie, but Catfish somehow tied for number two is Emerald City.
Yes! Oh my goodness, that is amazing.
Okay, well, other podcasts that got votes, people did like our coverage of Why the Last Man. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, Only Murders in the Building, Ash versus Evil Dead, Twin Peaks, Strange and Norrell, and The Strain. A lot of great options. Thank you guys so much for filling it out.
And telling a lot of us bad your favorite options.
Yeah, hey. So Catfish, now it's time. Hey, mm-hmm. why don't we say what has been our favorite podcast to do over the last 10 years? Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
All right, Bubba. I'll let you go first. This is your whole thing. I'm going to let you go first.
Okay, so my favorite podcast of the ones mm-hmm. we've done over the last 10 years, mm-hmm. well, it is a tie. It's between Penny Dreadful, City of Angels, His Dark Materials, and Lovecraft Country.
Bubba, you weren't on any of those.
That's why it's my favorite. I didn't have to do any work. I wasn't on those podcasts. It was the best.
You son of a gun.
Okay, well, what's been your favorite podcast we've done over these 10 years?
All right, Bubba, well, I thought about it. Mm-hmm. I thought about all these questions. These were great questions that you put together. I would consider Game of Thrones. It was our first podcast, and the Joffrey conceit was really endlessly enjoyable. And when we started it, it was still a great show. For that, I feel like more than we've done for other shows, we wrote a lot of deleted scenes and other chapters. So I feel like we were really working hard there. I would say also consider Emerald City because it was so bad that we just had so much fun with it.
Yep.
Also, along your lines, I would consider The Strain because I only showed up for about a third of those podcasts.
Man, you
love it. But my pick, Bubba,
yeah,
is Ash versus Evil Dead.
Whoa.
I never thought I would see any more Ash at that point, and it was just as fun as the movies. And the podcast featured Bailiff Rusty, who coincidentally has appeared in many more podcasts under different names but with the same voice.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness gracious. The reoccurring characters are loved here on the podcast. So, hey, listeners, you love Joffrey. That has certainly been the one we've done the most episodes of. And we mm-hmm. hope you will follow us as we continue on with the coverage of House of the Dragon and any other A Song of Ice and Fire spinoffs. Well, Catfish, those are the favorite podcasts. But hey, ignoring our work, the podcast, what do you think has been the best show that we've covered in a podcast is? So we may have done a terrible job podcasting, but the best actual show. I'll let you go first this time. What do you think?
Well, you want to know what should I guess what the listeners thought it was?
Okay, sure. Yeah. What do you think the listeners would have picked as the best show we've covered?
You know what? I'm going to cheat here and I'm going to say that they also said Game of Thrones. That's just it's a big landmark show. It's finished. I think if we ask this question in a few years, it might be different. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say Game of Thrones. What did they say?
You're absolutely right. Our listeners with a runaway favorite show, best show we've covered, has mm-hmm. been Game of Thrones. I think the second option from listeners is a bit surprising. Do you want to guess what their second choice for the best show we've covered is?
Bubba, is it Silo?
Ooh, very smart because it's recent. No, Silo did get some votes, but it didn't reach number two. Number two was a show, Netflix's Dark. People, if they love that show, they love it. And so that was our second pick. And then we have a tie for third, which will probably make your heart warm. Our tie for third among listeners' best show we've covered mm-hmm. is Andor and Ash versus Evil Dead. How you like that?
Oh, I love those. Gosh, you know, somehow I completely forgot about Andor. That one is up there. I'm also would consider Game of Thrones, Ash versus Evil Dead, Dark. Yeah. Silo, like Andor, I can't judge them yet because they're not done yet.
Yeah.
But coincidentally, I'm going to go with a show that really only had what I consider to be one season, completely ignoring the second season. I'm going to say The Terror, the first season. Man. Ice
that was
cold.
So good.
That was excellently done. You could feel the desperation. I mean, the horror of the elements was almost worse than the horror of Toonback.
Well, I do want to point out, so we mentioned the top three. It was Game of Thrones, Dark, and then a tie between Andor and Ash versus Evil Dead. We did have votes for Rings of Power, Silo, Twin Peaks, Strange and Norrell, House of the Dragon, Only Murders in the Building, The Strain, and The Mandalorian, which is really, really cool. And we did have a couple of write-in votes. Someone voted Severance Season 2 because they want us to cover it as the best show we've covered. And then somebody also said our infamous frame-by-frame breakdowns is the best show we've ever covered. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That is great. I love that some of our listeners went off the board. But what about you, Bubba? What would you pick?
I'm going to be very close to the listeners because I think Game of Thrones is a damn great show. I think Dark is a damn great show. But for me, maybe it's a bit unfair. Like you, I'm picking a show that really only has one season. I'm going Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell. I loved the book. You hated the book. And the fact the show came out and could make me a book lover love it, and you, somebody who hated the book, like the show, to me, that's the best one we've covered.
All right. That is good. I probably would have said Dark, which just didn't quite stick the landing, but I also think it was impossible for them to stick landing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, okay, we've covered the best show, Catfish. Mm-hmm. We've also covered a few clunkers. What do you think has been the worst show that we've covered on a podcast is?
My personal choice?
Yeah.
I would consider The Strain. I would consider Emerald City. I would consider The Rook.
Yep.
But by far, and you're probably not even going to pick this because you weren't exposed to it, the really worst show we've ever covered was Penny Dreadful City of Angels.
Man, that is a great low.
I mean, I want you to think about it. I mean, they, after the first season, even though they had a lot of hopes for it, they'd scheduled it 5 years, Showtime was like, no mas. No, we can't have this.
Well, this is tricky. So when I look at the worst shows, The Strain, too often at the beginning, thought it was trying to do prestige TV. And when they finally turned off any attempt at prestige TV, it did get better. Never good, but better. Why the Last Man was a great graphic novel.
Mm.
The show was kind of a failure, but I think in today's environment, with such a big emphasis on gender roles, it was always going to be tricky to make that show nowadays.
You know, the thing is, I mean, that show didn't succeed audience-wise, but I thought it succeeded artistically. I was happy with that show. I would have loved to have seen it continue.
I think both The Rook and 1899 dropped the ball on their potential, which kind of should make them the worst shows. The Rook could, you know that source material, Catfish, you know that novel. That could
they
have been a great show.
They completely destroyed that. That has to be your pick. The Rook completely destroyed that book.
In 1899, a bit like what you were saying with Penny Dreadful, they thought too much about, oh, we'll do this in season two and season three, and didn't put enough oomph to get
now,
that
season.
Now,
for me, I think of
three.
1899 the way I think of Why the Last Man.
I
thought it was perfectly set up. It should have continued. Both those shows, I feel like, should have continued. So, therefore, they could not be on the worst show because I wanted to see more.
All right. Well, then, my actual pick, though, anybody who's listened to any of our podcasts know that my actual pick is Emerald City.
Oh!
A complete train wreck. It is kind of fun to watch. In
absolutely.
A, what in the heck were they thinking? You
right.
know, it is fun to watch a train wreck, but to me, that's the absolute worst. I mean, that made Vincent D'Onofrio's bad acting. When that's the best thing in the show, boy, you're in trouble.
I mean, Vincent D'Onofrio knew what kind of show he was in.
He did.
He just decided. Everybody else was like, oh, we're just doing a show. And Vincent D'Onofrio was like, no, we're doing a show. plus 50%.
Well, okay, Catfish, this to me was one of the biggest surprises that our listeners picked.
Tell
what do you think our listeners picked for the worst TV show we've covered?
Okay, well, now this is going to be tough, right? Because I feel like the shows that, you know, this little behind the scenes will show underneath our skirt here at the Double PHQ. A lot of times we try to pick shows that aren't that popular so we can kind of own the space on it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, after Game of Thrones, when we turned out we were like the 75th favorite Game of Thrones podcast, we thought, let's find some good shows that maybe don't have a lot of pub, and maybe we can kind of like ride the wave. So, but I feel like we made some obvious mistakes there. The Rook, Emerald City. Right. And so I feel like what's going to be tricky here is a lot of people won't have watched some of these shows, so they won't realize how bad they are. So right. I feel like it's going to have to be a show that enough people watch that we're like, oh, this is no good. So I'm going to pick The Strain.
The Strain didn't even make the top three. It was number four, but it didn't make the top three. These three will blow you away.
Well, because it's going to be shows people watch.
That's the fact that anyone watched them will be what blew you away. So I'm going to actually count them down.
Okay.
So we know The Strain was number four for the fourth worst show we watched.
Got it.
Number three, Penny Dreadful, City of Angels.
Oh, yes.
People remember and they voted that. Okay. As the numbers get smaller, the shows get worse. Number two for the second worst show we've covered, Why the Last Man, Catfish. People were very brokenhearted about that, and it became number two.
All right, but beating both of those shows as far as horribleness was?
You're not going to believe it. The Rook!
Oh!
The Rook got more votes than anything else did in worst show we've covered.
Well, I got to say, that is a really good top three.
Now, somebody did add this comment that says, The Rook is the worst show that you guys have done that I've seen, but probably not as bad as The Strain, which this person didn't watch. So consider yourself lucky you didn't watch The Strain.
I love it.
So, so good. Oh, my goodness. Now, let's take a pause from the poll and talking about our history. And let's talk about different history. So I have mentioned already that we did a podcast on Jonathan Strange and Mr. Knurl. And we titled that podcast Lost Hope after the fairy realm in the show, which the gentleman with thistledown hair rules on that show. And so we titled the podcast Lost Hope. And we would always say, hey, reach out to us by tweeting out hashtag Lost Hope and we'll read all your stuff and we'll get, you know, you can win prizes, all this craziness. Catfish, do you remember what happened when we said tweet out hashtag Lost Hope, what we ended up finding?
A lot of very depressed people.
That's right. A lot of people who were probably not listening to our podcast, who maybe had bad cancer diagnoses or their homes were being foreclosed on. So we would search Twitter.
God.
We would search Twitter and Instagram every week for Lost Hope. And we would hear the worst stories of poor people. And we'd be like, whoops, awkward.
You know what hashtag no one's mistakenly going to say is Miffany's Epiphany.
That's right.
All right, Bubba, were there any other mistakes we made?
Well, as many people know, going back to our second podcast ever, we started this little alliteration game where we would try to top each other with alliteration. Mm-hmm. And because we were always saying double this, double that, we thought, oh, double podcast. Why don't we call ourselves Double P? Not realizing.
Well, right, because of the packed podcast. That's what the original Double P stands for.
Not really thinking about, there's a lot of pornography which goes hashtag Double P, and when people would search Double P for pornography, they would find our podcast and be very disappointed or have strange fetishes and be enjoying of it.
Well, I mean, I feel like if they could, you know, there had to be some sort of intersection there with Joffrey's desires and and pornography.
So we already talked about our names. Catfish, if you could go back in time, would you be a different name other than Catfish? You got any other handles that, you wish you had chosen?
Yeah. You know what? I haven't come up with one, but yes, I definitely would have come up with a different one. Maybe, when I joined you in Georgia, we went and got some great barbecue, and there was a radio personality on the wall and who had signed his photo, and his name was delightful. It slipped my mind right now.
Rhubarb Jones.
Rhubarb Jones. If I could have been Rhubarb, that would have been the best.
Hey, listeners, if we get 1,000 retweets of this tweet of us pitching this podcast, we will officially change Catfish's name to Rhubarb.
Rhubarb. Do it. Do it for Rhubarb.
Let's see. One thing that has been true since the very beginning, we have been celebrating first of his name, first in your heart, His Grace King Joffrey Baratheon, as the greatest heroic character, not only in fiction, but in the world. Do you agree, Catfish, about his heroic nature?
I mean, real or fictional, dead or alive, throughout the universe, from the beginning of time to the end of time, Joffrey Baratheon, the greatest heroic character that has ever or will ever exist.
Well, he's so great that we thought he needs a sidekick. Who is the Robin to King Joffrey's Batman?
He does.
So we put on the poll for listeners. This is what you told us. We said, who is the second greatest hero? Joffrey's here. Who's way down here in number two? Who is the second greatest hero? And Catfish, we have a lot of incredible answers. Do you want to give yours? Do you want to hear what the listeners said? Do you want to hear mine? Who do you think is the second greatest hero?
Well, Bubba, I think I'll give mine because I know mine is wrong.
Yeah, all
and
right.
And then we can listen to the listeners, and then you can come on and just correct everybody.
All right, sure.
So I would consider the client fabulous. Hashtag gone too soon. Cyril Karn, it's a little early for him, right? Whoever canceled Penny Dreadful, City of Angels, they're a hero. Okay. So history might prove that Cyril Karn deserves to be on the right hand of Joffrey's throne, but until Cyril's story is completely told, I'm going to pick Bruno Walter from Babylon Berlin as the hero who sacrificed for all of us.
As we say, everybody in that section of Germany has a little Bruno in them, because when he was blown to Brits, they all inhaled a bit of his ashes. A wonderful choice. And our listeners, let's go to yours.
Let's do it.
Let me say that we've already talked an awful lot about Emerald City. And let's go behind the curtain here, very conveniently on Emerald City, to just mention that when we did the Emerald City Hate Watch podcast 6 years ago, we knew nobody would listen. And in those 6 years, each podcast we did on Emerald City got about 290 downloads, which is like the lowest of the low numbers for us. And when you look at 290 people downloading each episode of a podcast, you wonder, well, how many of these people have actually watched Emerald City? But despite that fact, somehow, not only did the wizard from Emerald City get a vote, but somebody wrote in, this was a write-in vote for second greatest hero. They put in a character affectionately known as Tips Rack, which if you watch that show, that is a hilarious, probably a cancel-worthy character description. But that whoever wrote that in as the second greatest hero, you are second to Joffrey in my book. That's incredible.
But this reminds me, again, behind the curtain, some people have claimed, I don't know whether it's true or not, some people have claimed to have listened to some of our podcasts about shows they're not even watching.
Right.
So, I tip my rack to whoever said Tips Rack.
Okay, so I do want to point out that we had a bunch of write-in votes, not just Tips Rack. Somebody wrote in Juliet from Silo. Someone wrote in Uhtred, which is a great choice for second to Joffrey.
True.
Somebody, another brilliant listener, wrote in Cornelius Hickey from the first season of The Terror.
Oh, yeah.
They said Hickey is hilarious, just like King Joffrey. Incredible. Somebody from Why the Last Man wrote in Agent 355. Is this incredible? Not only have these write-ins been incredible, somebody, Catfish, wrote in and said, you are the second greatest hero next to King Joffrey. In addition, somebody said, Nephew Paul from the Parsec Passion podcast. We had Dedra Miro and Perrin from The Wheel of Time. These are incredible, incredible votes. But, Catfish, we have a tie. for the second greatest heroic character after King Joffrey from our listeners. Our listeners voted so much.
Got it.
But the listeners picked two of your options, the client and Cyril Karn, the client from The Mandalorian, Cyril Karn from Andor. They have officially tied to be the next hero after King Joffrey. Incredible.
You know, Bubba, now that I hear who won here, I'm wondering whether Nephew Paul and I should feel happy about being voted in or not.
In second place, so they tied for first. In second place, the character, the mother, Hannah from Dark, Jonas's mother, Hannah from Dark, Dag as a hero.
It was pretty bad.
In third place, this is one you'll love, whoever canceled Penny Dreadful City of Angels.
Yes. They're the hero we deserve. All right, Bubba, we've heard
from
me.
We also had votes for I-Corst, a.k.a. Poor Man's Kiss, Christoph Waltz from The Strain. We had votes for Thistledown Hair from Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, Toonbach from The First Terror, Bruno Walter, who you just discussed, and we also had Chester from The Terror Infamy. Oh man, these are great choices.
Wow. Okay, Bubba, that's it. We heard from me. We heard from the listeners. You're the architect of the whole Double PHQ network. What you say here goes. I know we always say, who cares what we think. Right now, Bubba, this is the only time I'm going to say, we care what you think. What's your choice, Bubba?
Okay, if King Joffrey, His Grace King Joffrey, is the number one hero, who is the second greatest hero?
Yeah.
It obviously has to be Prince Joffrey. So Joffrey, before he was king, when he was prince, he was the second greatest heroic character. Being a king bumped him up to number one, but we cannot forget Joffrey, the second greatest hero after King Joffrey.
I'm telling mother.
I mean, you know, it is through our lives. We are different people, so I'm going to accept that.
Catfish, this is our 10th anniversary. And earlier you mentioned how much work we did on those Joffrey podcast episodes where we would read George R. R. Martin's works. We would read the Joffrey POV chapters from his books.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now here we are. We're in the middle of House of the Dragon coverage. I think we should read a section of Fire and Blood, the book that House of the Dragon is based on. What do you think?
I mean, I stopped reading his books.
What?
I didn't finish Dance of Dragons. He's taking too long. And in the last few books, it was lots of words, all the stuff about food and the characters' names and the words and the sigils, and I've given up. Like George R. R. Martin, he's given up on writing and I've given up on reading.
Hold on, Catfish. Now that is heartbreaking, and I understand it, but Fire and Blood is the basis for House of the Dragon. And what's heartbreaking about it is, yes, he has those, you know, paragraph long food descriptions, but House of the Dragon and Fire and Blood, this book, it's almost like a history book. And in history books, you don't have time to describe, you know, food for 10 pages. So if you read this, I think you'd like it, because George R. R. Martin, he gets right into the action. It's like this happened, then this happened, then this happened. I think you'd like it.
Right, but without, again, it just says this happened and that happened. So it's basically just like a fake but also boring history book with no real motivations or juicy anything.
Let me just try. Here, I'll read the first section from Fire and Blood, the first section that covers episode one of House of the Dragon. So there are no spoilers in this. If you saw the first episode of House of the Dragon and you hear this, you know, there are no spoilers. It'll just give you an idea of how George R. R. Martin writes in Fire and Blood.
I'm happy to hear your description of him, because I know that you'll do a better job than he does.
Listen, here it is. Okay, so you ready? Here we go.
I'm ready. Let's hear it.
Chapter one, The Heir for a Day. Emma whelped out in pain as the agony of the birth ripped across her body. Red, gushing blood spilled from her as the child struggled to leave her torso. The maester grabbed a knife and cut more of her, ripping her pelvis open to pull the child out. King Viserys was heartbroken, but he signaled for the maester to continue to rip his son out of his wife's belly.
Oh, God.
Finally, he saw the infant's foot under a sea of blood, red sheets. The child coughed.
Okay, all right, Bubba. No, stop. This is horrible. Just let's skip past this part, all right? Skip ahead.
Catfish, what do you mean? This was displayed in the show. You saw this.
Yeah,
in
no,
the show.
I know. I saw it.
But you're having a problem now.
I mean, I've had my fill of horrific and deadly childbirth for an entire lifetime.
Catfish, maybe you're not seeing the symbolism of how this is set in a fantasy world where women don't have agency over their bodies. Yet here in our modern world, women are still struggling over the right to choose. You know, it's symbolism.
Yeah, yeah, no, I get it, Bubba. It's very, very subtle, but also very, very, unlike the sarcasm I just said, it's also really, really gratuitous. So I'd prefer the food description instead. Just skip ahead. All right, let's go to the next chapter.
All right, here, let me scroll down, you big baby. Okay, here we go.
All right, okay.
Chapter 2, mm-hmm. Tragedy in Pentos.
Oh, God.
Damon held the bloody stillborn baby in his arms.
Oh, come on.
His wife's lower torso, a grisly mess of flesh torn clear of bone, the twisted red umbilical cord dangling between her legs.
Okay, all right. No, dear God. Just skip it. This is sick, and I don't need it. I don't know. I don't know why you decided to replace the
Catfish,
food with viscera.
You saw this on the show.
Yeah, I saw it like 4 times. Let's skip ahead.
But hold on. Maybe you're missing the symbolism about women in childbirth.
No, I got it the first time, and then I got it the second time, and then I got it the third time, and I got it the fourth time. Let's just skip ahead.
You are such a big baby.
Yeah, all right, I just don't want to relive stillborn births with all the viscera and blood. Can we go to the next chapter?
Okay, all right, here we go. Okay, chapter 3. No. Let's not do chapter 3. Let me skip to chapter 4. So
No. You'll give me a hard time for saying skip ahead. Go ahead.
But in this case, I think chapter 4.
No. That's right. You call me a baby. It's fine. Go ahead. You know, read chapter 3.
Okay. Here we go. Chapter 3. The Bloody Uterus.
All right. Okay. Nope. All right. Skip it. Go ahead. You're right. Go ahead. Skip ahead.
Okay. Here we go. You ready? Chapter 4. Lord Laris's foot fetish.
Okay,
now, you love the kinky stuff that the characters get up to. You're going to love this.
I'm all set. But if this foot stuff turns into disgusting baby stuff.
This is the book that the show is based on. You watched the show.
Yeah. All right. I'm warning you. Go ahead. Listen. Go ahead and read. But I'm warning you.
All right. Listen. Okay. Ready? Chapter 4. Lord Laris Strong limped along the cobblestones of King's Landing. Mm-hmm. His eyes turned downward, focused on all the sandaled feet plodding this way and that across Flea Bottom. On the Street of Flowers, he met his intended partner, Miseria, the white worm smelled of lilies and sweet water. She wore a long, flowing sheer dress, the color of dusk sky.
Okay, all right.
Lord Laris said, "Lift up your dress so I might tickle your toes."
That son of Miseria, a guy.
Miseria pulled up her long, flowing dress to reveal her petite feet.
Yeah.
But between them dangled a smushed fetus covered
in
blood.
Oh, come on. No. All right.
Do you see the symbolism?
No, I do. The symbolism is beating me over the head with the bloody umbilical cord. Let's go.
Okay. You ready? Here we go. Chapter 5. Sure.
Yep.
Otto Hightower's War Council.
Okay. Now, whoa. As Roger Daltrey said, I won't get fooled again. Okay, all before right. You read one more word, tell me all the characters in this scene.
What are you talking about?
Before you begin, I want to know all the characters that are in this war council.
Why?
Just tell me all the characters in the scene before you begin. That's all. You're just setting the stage for me, okay?
All right, here, I'm going to scan. There's Hand of the King, Otto Hightower.
Okay.
Sir Tywin Lannister, Kristen Perfect. Cole, Grand Maester Orwell. That's the council, it seems like.
Nobody else.
Catfish, that's a war council. Why are you asking?
Well, you know why I'm asking. All right, fine. Okay. If those are the only members of the war council, go ahead, read the chapter.
All right, here we go. Chapter 5, Otto Hightower's War Council. Can we get into any of this book that you're just skipping past the whole thing?
Yep.
Otto stood at the head of the table, looking down at the blonde-haired lord. "Will the Westerlands support Prince Aegon's claim to the throne?" the hand asked. "Casterly Rock stands with the true heir," Tywin Lannister answered. Mm-hmm. Otto declared, "This calls for a toast. Cupbearer, wine for the room." The cupbearer stepped forward, their tunic stained with Dornish red.
"This cupbearer better be male,"
But upon closer inspection, Otto Hightower saw that it was not wine that stained the cupbearer's clothes, but blood. For between the cupbearer's legs fell a bloody red baby. She was having a violent miscarriage, dragging the deformed infant across the table.
Yeah, all right, skip ahead.
Do you get the symbolism?
Yeah. Well, I think we went way past symbolism 4 bloody fetuses ago. Just, you know what, just go to the chapter on Aemon's dragging, attacking Luke Strap.
But wait, that's the very end of the first season, House of the Dragon.
Yes, exactly. Go to the end.
All right, fine. Here, scroll. Here we go. Here it is. Chapter 10, sure. The Battle over Shipbreaker's Bay.
Perfect.
Ready? Mm-hmm. Lucerys arrived at Storm's End while the clouds were dark black. He entered the castle.
No. I don't want to see his walk. I don't want him walking by anybody. I don't want him looking in any rooms and seeing something. Just go right to the dragon fight.
That's at the very end of the chapter.
Skip ahead.
All righty. Okay. Here we go. Okay. The very end of this section, pretty much the end of the first season. Fine. Here we go.
Perfect. I hope it gives me more edification than the rest here.
Aemon's dragon Vhagar screamed out a mighty roar as Arax flew by in the night. The dragon buckled and lunged forward. Vhagar, no, Aemon screamed. Yet the beast convulsed, rocking back and forth. Nothing Aemon did could control the giant dragon. He peered down the scaled body to see the most horrific sight. The ancient Vhagar the dragon was pushing out a pair of bloody dragon eggs out of its hoo-hoo hole. Blood gushed from the failed pregnancy as miscarried soft, smushed eggs fell down.
No. Done.
I'm surprised we don't read more with this.
I'm telling mother.
Fire and blood, everybody, on bookstores now.
Fire and blood.
These women are not chaff.
Hey, let's get back to our poll and let's find out our listeners' favorite podcast catchphrase.
I love it. Let's hear it.
Hey, I want to mention my pick first, and that's who cares what we think? We want to know what you think. We love saying what we think. But again, listeners, we always ask for your feedback because we care what you think. That's my favorite.
I mean, we're doing this whole podcast based on what you think. And that's all we ask is that you say some stuff so that we don't have to. But I would consider he gone. I'm just happy. I'm just proud that I did well in this poll. Skip ahead.
Oh, yeah.
We just covered that. And it's me. Bailiff Rusty / Maester Aemon / the Wizard. My pick, the favorite, I didn't come up with it. It always made me laugh. Nora's mother's daughter, Nora. That is my favorite catchphrase. I don't know who came up with it, you or Mork, but it is a brilliant.
Our buddy Mork on the Strain podcast, he would never learn the character's name. So it'd be like this person. It was always like Nora's mother this, Nora's mother's that. And so I started trying to tie into him. I'd be like Nora's mother's daughter, Nora. And that did very well. Got many votes, tied for 4th place in our listener poll.
Okay.
But Catfish, I think you'll like number one. Our number one catchphrase that the listeners like is double L.
Oh. Double L, loyal listener.
They love themselves. They voted themselves the best catchphrase. Our second pick, the listener's second pick was, he gone.
I love it.
That's pretty new, Catfish. That's one of yours. Their second favorite catchphrase. And then, hey, their third favorite pick was a tie between skip ahead and who cares what we think. Oh, so, so good.
Love it. Love it, Bubba.
Now, tied to our infamous, and I mean infamous catchphrases, a lot of them, like Nora's mother's daughter, Nora, does go to when we decided, rather ignorantly, to spin off of Game of Thrones and do other shows. So just 1 year later, in 2014, we started covering The Strain with a podcast because we were so clueless entitled Got Your Milk, because they said it so much in the first episode. They never said Got Your Milk ever again. None of the characters ever said it again. But that was the title of our Strain podcast for every season of that. And then 1 year after The Strain, we did tackle Jonathan Strange and Mr. Nurl. And through all these podcasts, we did come up with podcast character voices, which we really need to do more of, Catfish. We need more character voices, I tell you.
You're right. I mean, there's stuff that we have just gotten so lazy We're not doing the voices anymore. We're not doing the hidden, the cut scenes anymore, or the lost chapters. We got to start. We got to get back on the treadmill and do some work here, Bubba.
All right. Well, listeners, Catfish, they had so many great choices. So real quickly, one of the choices could be The Wizard. These women are not chaff from Emerald City. That got one vote, but that's always great. Some people from The Strain loved, Hey, Doc, it's me, Sexy Fett. Somebody loved that. Oh, it's me, Trail Brother Tommen. And then Matt Murdix, Coach Trollic from Wheel of Time, got a couple of votes. Bailiff Rusty got a couple of votes. Satrakian from The Strain got a couple of votes. And one you always did better than me, Catfish, Mr. Drawlight got several votes. He ended up in third place, actually, Mr. Drawlight.
Oh, I like it.
But before I get to the top two, a vote came in for your Southern lawyer character, Catfish. It doesn't have a name. We need a name. Maybe it's Rhubarb.
We do. Jones. I'm Rhubarb Jones. I'm going to represent.
So our top votes for favorite podcast vote. Tied for second, we have, Joffrey, Surly Sansa Stark, and the client, Parsec Passion. But number one.
Let's hear it.
You know it and I know it. The favorite podcast voice is, Your Grace, it's me, Grand Maester Pycelle. Treason is treason. So people love Pycelle. Maybe that's why House of the Dragon is good, but not great. We need some great voices on the show.
Well, Bubba, I mean, that is Maester Pycelle. I think that they liked his voice because Maester Pycelle was always saying really, really inappropriate things as well. I would consider the client Surly Sansa. That was in our cut chapters. Surly Sansa, she was in the cut chapter, she was kind of a drunk. She was kind of a mess. Right.
I remember her touching herself inappropriately one time, too, which was really bad.
Something going on with Ned. It was all very, very disturbing and not PC. But I'm going to give it to the variations of, I like Grand Maester Pycelle, but I like his younger brother, Bailiff Rusty, the best. Just because he would come out of nowhere. It's me, Bailiff Rusty.
Right, he had to announce himself a bit like a bit like another character voice. Hey, brah, it's me, Gus. listeners, we hope you love the voices. We're gonna try to bring them back. We forget them half the time, but we'll bring some back. And we love your vote. Ooh, now hey, we've done 10 years of podcasts. What shows should we have covered? This is a tricky one. I'll go first. Mm-hmm. We've already mentioned it, or a listener mentioned it, Severance. That is a great show. If we knew when we started, when Severance came out, that it was going to be that great, we should have podcasted on it. To me, though, the one that we should have done, we didn't because we didn't read the source material, and it's a great show, The Boys. The Boys on Amazon Prime, great show, so fun. They're having spinoffs, Gen V is about to come out, so I wish we had done it, but that's what I would say.
I don't know why you say we didn't read it, because I definitely read it.
Oh, you did? Oh, yeah.
I read it. I read it years ago. It was right when I was getting into comics, and they had all the issues bundled together. I remember when it first came out, I was like, there is no way that Amazon Prime is going to do justice to just how filthy this show is. And they were like, oh, yeah, comics are filthy. We're going to raise you. And it is amazing. The comedy is the comedy is much better than it was in the actual comic series. They really add the comedy stuff. The Boys would have been great. I feel like I kind of pitched it at the time because I had seen it. Severance would have been great, but my pick, Bubba, as we go down memory lane and I remember how much we had fun doing Emerald City, I even suggested this at the time. I'm like, Bubba, we have to do a La Brea hate watch. Would have been so good.
It would have been. Actually, just hearing it again, it's like, yes, La Brea lives on in all of us.
The only problem with that is, well, I think even though it's a network show, I still think they've kept the episode count down. The last thing we'd want to do is a 20-episode show. But I think they've kept the episode count down on that. I feel like that was a Emerald City Redux miss for us.
It was. Hey, let's get back, listeners, to your thoughts. We said, what has been your favorite podcast segment? And we've done so many segments. I'm going to go ahead and run them down because there's so many. We did the Double M's musical analysis from Babylon Berlin. We had Ja oder Nein and Who's the Worst. From House of the Dragon, we had Match Game, Ash versus Evil Dead. We had Versus Bubba versus Catfish Courtrooms. The spin-off specials, deleted scenes from Game of Thrones, the White Lodge and Black Lodge minutes, and of course, Andor's Good Grief, Grief Beefs, and What's That Secret You're Keeping? So many good ones. Catfish, what has been your favorite podcast segment of all these segments we've done?
Well, Bubba, again, it's really to think of the Game of Thrones deleted scenes and the spin-off specials. God, we did so much work back then. We were fresh and young, and we thought this is going to be, people are going to love this content, and this is, we're going to take off. None of that happened, so we got lazy. So those are great, but for me, it's a one-off. But the episode we did after Joffrey faked his own death, where we had songs and we had other stuff, to me, that's the episode that I'm proudest of. So I think it's the Joffrey faking his own death bits that were for me, my favorite segment, even though it was a one-off.
Oh, it was so good. The Candle in the Wind, where we rewrote it to be about a more important person than Marilyn Monroe or Princess Di, but did it about Joffrey. That was really good.
Oh, yeah.
I think because of Babylon Berlin's Who's the Worst was so fun, we spun it off into other non-German language shows. So I think that's good. I think the Match Game is really good. But I think our listeners, Catfish, are like you. They love Game of Thrones. They love all those things we did. So the number one favorite segment from our listeners was the deleted scenes. Ugh, in a runaway deleted scene. So good.
Bubba, I can't even, it's been so long that I actually had to add that to the list.
Well, it won. Number one, tie for second with our listeners were the musical analysis by Double M. Of course, those are brilliant. Of course. And then the Match Game, which we just started with House of the Dragon, ended up in number two. Number three was the Versus Bubba versus Catfish Courtroom from Ash versus Evil Dead. Those are all classic segments.
Well, you know what I love about the Match Game one is that the audience, our listeners chime in on it as well. And they have shown that they are funnier than we are.
Yeah, that's very obnoxious of them. Our final couple of questions we had for you listeners was a big shocking one. We decided to ask who's the worst of all the children who have appeared on all these shows we've done.
It is amazing that there are enough horrible children that we had lots of choices in this poll.
We did. In fact, I want to read them all off because they're so terrible. We had 1899's The Boy. We had Andor's Leda. We had Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power's Theo. Babylon Berlin had two. Moritz and Tony both got it. On Dark, we had the youngest of the Cleft Lip Three. The Strain gave us two Zacks, Zack 1.0 and 2.0. Game of Thrones, traitor, Brother Tommen. Twin Peaks, Little Nicky, you could ride in. So many terrible Who's the Worst Kids, Catfish. My pick, The Strain's Zack 2.0, the worst of the worst. Never have I wanted to see a kid killed more than Zack 2.0, and he did get killed.
Well, you know, Bubba, I mean, we talked about how we have to, for some of these, we have to wait until the show's over to make really decisions about it. You know, Cyril Karn being at the right hand of Joffrey. For me, though, and this isn't even recency bias, I had a tough time because we had Obi-Wan.
Yep.
And there was young Leia, and she was horrible. But then, coming over the top with Andor, What's That Secret You Keep? And Leda, she was horrible. Just a horrible, horrible human being.
So that's your pick for the worst kid?
That is my pick, Leda.
You you agreed with the listeners in a runaway.
Yes.
Leia from Andor won the worst child. Oh, my goodness gracious. In second place, it was traitor brother Tommen. Joffrey will always get his due. We had a tie for third place where it was Lord of the Rings Theo and then the strange Zach 1.0 and 2.0. But Leia from Andor, a runaway, a shocking vote, especially considering her fate at the end of season one of Andor. She's the worst kid there is. Incredible.
Not shocking. Now, Bubba,
yeah,
those are all those polls. But I've got, as usual, added bonus content for our listeners.
Ooh.
Over the years, I'm sure many people have been entertained by how frustrated you are about me forgetting about things. And this could have been a question for the poll, but I saved it for you, Bubba.
All right.
I will provide the correct answers afterwards, though.
Okay.
But this is from your point of view.
Sure.
There are some shows we podcast where I had read the book /books.
Mm-hmm.
So which one, from your point of view, was I least prepared for, considering that I was supposed to be presenting the book reader's viewpoint? And which one was I most prepared for? And now here are your options, Bubba.
Let's hear.
Joffrey of podcasts for Game of Thrones. Okay, go ahead. If you want to comment as we go.
I think you remembered the Game of Thrones books okay. I don't think you failed completely on that.
All right. Shoggoth Surprise in Lovecraft Country.
Yeah, I wanted you to pull out some book knowledge on that podcast, and you didn't. So that's painful.
All right, sure. What about Got Your Milk, The Strain?
Catfish, what I remember about this is you brought a copy of The Strain to a Barnes & Noble, and we waited an hour in line for you to get it signed by acclaimed director Guillermo del Toro. And then after you got it signed, I was like, oh, this is so good. We're going to podcast about this book you've read. And you went, oh, yeah, I don't think I've ever read it.
Well, I'd read at least half of the first one, even though I had all three.
Ooh, all right. Okay. Yeah.
How about Ice Cold, The Terror?
Think you remembered enough of The Terror, so I'm not going to pick that one. Give me two more options.
All right, we got Miffany's Epiphany, The Rook. Mm.
Well, you remembered enough to know how far off that show was from the source material. It wasn't close. It shouldn't have been even claimed it was from the source material. It was so far off.
All right, and then Z, the last podcast for Why the Last Man, which apparently you had forgotten that I had read. Oh, no, this is The Boys. You forgot I'd read The Boys.
I'm going to say you did remember The Rook the best. That may not be true, but I do remember on that podcast you would point out, oh, this is missing this one thing from the book. This is missing this one thing from the book. So I think you remembered the book, The Rook, the best. Then I guess I'm going to go for Shoggoth Surprise, Lovecraft Country, because I kept waiting for you to add book value to that podcast, and you never did. Those are my guesses. What's the truth?
Bubba. Just like it's impossible to watch a mystery show with you because you figure it out too soon, you've exactly answered those two questions correctly. In Lovecraft Country, I was forgotten it so much. And The Rook, I'd recently reread it and was so sad about it. You know, a close second, though, was The Terror as far as how much I remembered it.
Yeah, that's a great book. And you introduced me to that book. You've introduced me to a bunch of these books that we've covered, TV show adaptations of Catfish. So love it, love it, love it. The most important thing in all our podcast listeners, your feedback.
What we think? What do you think?
We said we'd been around 10 years, and this is the feedback we got. Our good buddy at Patman23 on Twitter just responded, wow, 10 years, whoa.
I love it. Another longtime listener, Tracy at Tracy2EZ, said, what a milestone. Great job with Silo, by the way. Thank you, Tracy.
Our good buddy, spoiler alert, Hamlet is dead on Twitter, said, I wanted to vote for Jonathan Strange to be the best podcast. That was so insightful. It made me reread the book after so many years. But come on, it has to be Game of Thrones. I'm telling Mother. Don't tell Mother. Thank you, Hamlet.
Well, and Priscilla TV said, wow, that was a comprehensive quiz, and I left some unanswered. Only then I realized I completely forgotten about Uhtred, son of Uhtred.
Oh, how can you forget it? Elias Sideways said, Congratulations on 10 years. May the force be with you for another 10. I think there were plenty of recency biases in my answers. Oh, thank you, Elias.
And Endless Mike, so good. We have something. Is this from 6 years ago, this tweet?
Yep.
Endless Mike in September 2nd, 2017. Thanks to Hulu and the recommendation of Fit and Trim and CJG Man 67, I'm watching NBC Emerald City. My apologies.
Oh,
but
boy.
We know that Endless Mike, he answered Emerald City was the worst, probably. Bubba,
hey,
you had an open-ended question.
Sure.
What are you looking forward to in the next decade? This is where we need to really listen into our double L's, longtime listeners, figure out where we can take this podcast and our podcast Double PHQ in the next 10 years to really take off like the leaking rocket ship that it is. What do we have, Bubba?
Well, these were responses we got. You didn't have to leave a name. So one of the first responses says, I'm looking forward to in the next decade, Netflix eventually carrying a sci-fi series to completion like they did with Dark. Also, 10 consecutive championships for the Georgia Bulldogs. Oh, that is a great listener right there. Heck yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. Someone said, more free podcasts without ads and more free gifts. Please spend all your time and money on us without getting anything in return.
We get your feedback. That's the most important thing we get in return.
I think they're talking about without us getting anything in return, Bubba.
Okay. That's
and I know that because I'm the one who wrote that answer.
Well, hey. Somebody said in the next decade, they're looking forward to Fallout, the TV show, an untitled Rick and Michonne Walking Dead spinoff, The Penguin coming up on Warner Brothers Max service, Ripley, Blade Runner 2099. Do any of those sound exciting to you, Catfish? I think The Penguin could be great.
Yeah, it could be good. Blade Runner, I'm always down for Blade Runner. I love Blade Runner.
Oh, look at this. Somebody said, for the next 10 years, I'm looking forward to the possibility of still being alive. But then he said, for the podcast network, just more Bubba and Catfish covering whatever.
I love it. And then someone here, a true loyal listener, says, Joffrey coming back in the Winds of Winter after faking his death to catch the real usurpers.
I don't know what I'm looking forward to next week, so I'll just say for the next 10 years, more podcasts, please. Oh, thank you so much.
All right. Someone wants A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, Dune, The Sisterhood, Napoleon, Time Bandits. All sound interesting to me.
I do. I've read the book Dune, Catfish, only the first one. Have you read the Dune series?
I have read the first Dune series, the first book of the Dune series, several times, but I've never read any of the other ones, apparently take a real turn where he is very sad for what he has done.
Yeah, I know. And I heard the Dune Part 2, that new movie, you might touch on some of that. Okay, somebody said more episodes from a podcast of entertaining and insightful podcasters. Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, I thought it was going to say, so we need to get some of those. So I think we got to find some insightful and entertaining podcasters.
Please.
Someone says a Triple J.
Triple J.
Joffrey's jubilant journey's endings and his return.
Oh, love it. Somebody said they want to see a continuation of Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon podcast. Hey, they're coming.
I love it. Somebody wants a Double H.
Double H?
Hogwarts Hoedown. The Max series will make good fodder.
Boy, no wonder Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon did so much. Everybody's looking forward to them. Somebody said even the Dunk and Egg show that may be coming.
I love it. Someone wants more House of the Dragon foot fetish talk. They got some tonight already. You're welcome.
Somebody said they want to look forward to further antics of Bubba and Catfish and Company. It's coming, people.
I love it. And somebody, I've been cut out of this one. Someone's looking forward to settling down with Bubba. Good luck if you can catch him.
Boy, that is, they're aiming low for that. Somebody, wants more Star Wars content. It's coming up.
It is coming. And somebody else wants more of your podcasts. More great content. More podcasts.
10 more years.
Somebody wants everything. Somebody wants retirement. Somebody wants more money.
Oh, look at this one. Somebody wants Zach 4.0.
Let's do it. Let's go. Let's go to 4.2. And somebody wants Ahsoka. That is coming. And then somebody, I think this is the real theme of this, Bubba.
Yeah.
They just want more. They want
more. Yeah. Catfish, Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that the mm-hmm. big show that you're looking forward to is Winning Time Season 2. Or are we allowed to talk about that?
I'm not allowed to talk about it, Bubba. I'm on strike.
Don't talk about it. But if you want to see Catfish really where he's knowledgeable, get ready coming up in September. Guys, we did this really just because we wanted to celebrate you. We wanted you guys to tell us what you like about this podcast after 10 ridiculously silly years.
Wow.
And we hope you've enjoyed it. And you can always know, you can always write to us on Twitter or X or whatever Elon Musk wants to call it this week, at PHQ, on Instagram and Threads at PHQ, the word double, the single letter P for podcast, HQ for headquarters, Facebook.com/PHQ, YouTube. All our podcasts are now ending up on YouTube. You can find us there. And for the time being, you'll find me, Bubba, on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim, at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
And you'll be able to hit me up on X, Twitter at CJGman67, and Instagram. I changed my name, GEETOTHEMANG, to the man. And Bubba?
Yeah?
What are we even calling this? You know what, Bubba?
What?
I'll say this. You'll hear us in another 10 years on the 20th anniversary of PHQ.
It's me, Bailiff Rusty. I'm now working at the mortuary and retirement home.
All right. Rhubarb Jones coming to visit Rusty.
I'm telling Mother.